Will the big climate change conference opening today pull together or unwind like last time? From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. World leaders are in Paris working to strike a deal on carbon dioxide and climate change. The last major try at this occurred in Copenhagen in 2009 and ended in much disarray. Marketplace's European correspondent Stephen Beer joins us now. Stephen, what's different this time?
Most of the countries taking part, including the two biggest emitters, China and the US, have already committed to cutting emissions. Cristiana Figueres, who's running the whole UN climate process, says there's been a massive change in the world's political climate.
Governments are not decreasing, but increasing their political will, because every single one is already impacted, some negatively, by climate change, and they want to address that.
Now, she says the cuts that have been promised won't eliminate the problem of climate change, but things will be much better than if we did nothing.
Critics say one of the problems with the way that many climate change agreements are framed are their lack of enforcement mechanisms, also known as teeth. What's this I'm hearing about binding commitments?
The hope is that the treaty that emerges from this will require many of the signatories to go home and pass laws binding themselves to their targets. That's not going to happen in the case of the US because of Republican opposition. But the bigger hope is that what will emerge is mandatory inspection so that countries can be exposed and admonished if they fail to carry out what they've agreed.
Money, as always, playing a central role here as well.
The UN wants the developed countries to pay into a fund worth $100 billion a year to help the developing world transition to a low-carbon economy. Only a fraction of that money has been pledged so far, but Jim Kim-yong, president of the World Bank, believes it's going to happen.
There's a lot of questions about whether we do have a credible path to the $100 billion, and this is going to be one of my roles, is to continue to illustrate why we're convinced that there is a credible path.
And UN officials and climate activists say there are very good economic, quite apart from moral, reasons for the West, for Europe, the US and Japan coughing up. Citigroup reckons the total cost to world business if climate change goes unchecked will be $44 trillion.
Marketplace's European correspondent Stephen Beard, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Let us do the numbers. The 100-share index in London is flat. The DAX in Germany is up 1%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong fell 0.3%. The Dow futures down, but S&P and NASDAQ futures are up about 2.5 hours here before the opening bell. The big event on the economic calendar for the week is on Friday, the November jobs report from the Labor Department. Over the last 5 years, Louisiana, Georgia, New York, and a whole country, Canada, have grabbed a lot of film and television production that was once done in Los Angeles. But California recently tripled its tax incentive, offering millions to shows to come back to Hollywood, plus millions to big-budget films as well. And this seems to be paying off. Marketplace's Adrian Hill toured 20th Century Props, a Southern California outfit that rents props for movies and TV shows, a business which recently reopened its doors.
Well, let's see. We got about 19,000 square feet nowadays.
That's Harvey Schwartz, the owner of 20th Century Props. He's been in the business for more than 40 years.
As we walk in, we see these six angels that come from a movie originally named Buddy.
There's nothing demure about these angels. They're angular, menacing, maybe 20 feet tall.
And I re-rent them constantly. I rented them to Batman and Catgirl, and they look like Gotham City for sure. They've been in 37 big productions.
Behind the angels, chairs, couches, desks, stacked from floor to ceiling, there's a baby alien sitting on a rattan chair. Schwartz has a couple cryogenic chambers from the Austin Powers movie. He rents them out to bar mitzvahs.
You know, Hollywood does a lot of build and destroy and throw away. And I like to gather all the goodies that before they destroy them. You know, usually they'll destroy these things. But if I can get my hands on them, I'll save them and re-rent them to Hollywood again.
Yet all of this is a fraction of what Schwartz had back in 2000.
It became the biggest prop house under one roof in the world.
He had 90,000 square feet of everything. His props included a 162-foot-long submarine.
Every TV show wanted to do at least one episode in that submarine.
But that was all before movie and television production started leaving town. His business dried up.
I closed down, had big auctions, and sold tons of stuff.
His beloved submarine was purchased, used once, then left to rot outside. So Schwartz went back to where he started, selling vintage furniture. But this summer, as he saw the tax credits working and production coming back to Southern California, he decided to try it again.
I love being back. It's so much fun working with my old friends. It's a lot of fun being able to supply the TV shows and the movies with goods. And then I get to see them on camera. And it is fun. Hollywood is fun. Entertainment is fun.
Especially when you have a piece of the action. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
And it is Cyber Monday when people go online to shop for holiday deals, typically using their work computers. I want to say that Amazon, eBay, Walmart, and Best Buy Online are all indemnifying employers for all the lost productivity when people use the boss's IT to shop, but that would not be accurate. From studios at Montclair State University today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.